I'd like to welcome everybody into God's house this evening. What a blessing it is to be in the Lord's house. It's good to see everybody cheering. We've got a nice crowd. Got quite a number of visitors. We want to say welcome. We are so glad that you're here. It blesses us for people to come and visit us at the Lord's house. Got some people that's been gone, maybe to Florida and other places, and they've come back, some of them. And we thank the Lord for you folks. Glad you've come back home. Glad that Bryson is still here. And this might be the last service we've got with Bryson for a while because he's moving over to Indianapolis. But we appreciate him being here. And it's a very special honor to have Bryson's dad with us tonight. And so I appreciate his dad and his dad helping him. And thank the Lord for that. And Bryson has said to me, when I get a chance, I'll come back and visit. And I believe that. And because he's very faithful. When he can come, he does. And we appreciate him being here. So we're glad of everybody that's in God's house tonight. Have a scripture I'd like to read from the book of Isaiah, a very familiar scripture. It's in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And realize this was maybe 700 years before Jesus was born. And this is prophecy that God gave Isaiah talking about the Lord coming. Listen to this verse that he said, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." What a wonderful scripture. Let's all stand for a moment of prayer as we pray. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be in your house again tonight, God. Thank you for letting us already feel the touch of your presence and feel your love and your spirit. God, thank you for the fellowship that we've already had coming into your house tonight. God, I just thank you for each one that's here and each visitor especially. God, I pray for this service that you just help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to have a meeting that would be just what everybody needs and speak to those hearts that are spiritually in need tonight, God. Lord, we know that you're the one that's able to do all those things. And Lord, we praise you and we ask you these things in Jesus' name and amen. Amen. Please be seated. We turn over to the choir.
Page 130.
Oh,
page 182.
With no one to give them a tune.
page 204.
Could be back in church tonight. And I'm thankful there's power in the blood, because if there wasn't, I don't know what state we'd be in. And I'm thankful to be back in church. Last week I wasn't able to make it. I wasn't feeling the best, and it makes a big difference toward the end of the week. You know, you need church, and it's a big uplift to me, and I was really looking forward to Sunday. At this time, we're stand, and we're asked to see if there's any prayer requests. Any unspoken? Any spoken?
Tonight's short love scene started out with the Lord.
Let's remember that. If there's nothing else, I ask Brother Bob if you could lead us. At this time, we'll look to the church to see if anyone has a song or a testimony. Anything at all. I always struggle when I'm up here to determine what to say and what to do, because I don't want to move them myself, but God gave me a small thought, so I'll try my best to get out of the way and share it. Reading in Isaiah earlier this week, and I came across a couple of verses, and made me think about just what God did for me when he saved me. It says in chapter 59, verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." And then in verse 6 it says, "Neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity." If I would have had the longest life that ever been lived, I would never been able to live up to the standard that God needed me to in order for me to be righteous on my own. I could never be enough. And all, if it was just a speck of sin, that'd be enough to condemn me. But then, when I look back to the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And I think in the book of Romans, it says, "Christ died for us while we were yet sinners." And God loved me so much, even though I wasn't deserving of it, I could never live up to what I needed to be. And God saw who I would become and the things that I would do, and even that I wouldn't be able to live the way I needed to after he saved me, but he still saw fit to be able to show grace to a little boy. It's It's been almost 15 years since he saved me, and it's grown sweeter ever since. I look once more. Is there anyone that has a testimony or a song?
Trust in Jesus.
Thank the Lord for that song.
Call her.
like to say myself that I'm thankful for Bryson. He came to join the church. He was a big blessing to all of us. He's been a witness to our lost. He's been praying. He's been obedient. And he became a part of this church. And he's going to continue to be a part of this church. And I'm thankful that he came and he prayed for our lost and he labored for the Lord. And brother, I also want to say to you, every time you've been here, you've been a blessing to me. I appreciate you. I'd also like to add, when Taylor and Katie were singing, it brought to mind a verse. It's in 1 Peter. It says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Thankful that in my struggles, inside of my dark times, God's able to bring good out of it. Not just for me, but in my family and my church. Any other songs or testimonies? If not, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to my pastor.
Thank the Lord for being here. Lord's great spirit here. I appreciate what I feel and what already happened, the choir singing and opening up and a special song. I appreciate Brother Callahan, Bryce's dad. I appreciate him saying and sharing what was on his heart. And I was thinking when he was sharing that, I was thinking how close, Brother Taylor, that fit with yours and Katie's song. Fit right together and hooked up good. And it's good to be here. And so I appreciate what I feel already. And I'll ask one more time just in case anybody else got a song on your heart you feel like singing, you're still welcome. And I'm going to see what these preachers up here has got on their heart. Which one of them feel like coming, but I expect one of them will, and hope they do. And they looking across at each other. Andrew said no like this. That narrows it down a little bit now. You ready to go? Let's pray for Cooper.
Stuffed up, but I'm glad to be here. Thank God for what I feel tonight. I thought about what Brother Josh said with liberty. I forget where it's at. Paul was writing, and he said, "Don't get entangled with the yoke of bondage again." And how sad it is the times in life when we have liberty right in front of us. Christ has made us free, and we entangle ourselves with bondage again. But I'm glad tonight to know that I'm free in Christ Jesus. He set me free. So you pray tonight, Matthew chapter number 27. I'll just share what I've got for a moment, and I'll be out of the way. I'll be honest with you. I preached on this Sunday morning, and I despise doing this. It bothers me, and I don't know why. I don't know why it is that way, but it bothers me more than anything, preaching on the same scripture, same topic twice. But if it's the will of God, I'll be content in it. So you pray Matthew chapter number 27, verse 20 or 22. Pray for just a moment. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 says, "Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people, and it said, His blood be on us and on our children." Let me read that again. "Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." So you pray, if I could give you a subject or a title in mind tonight, it would be this: the very life that he created. The very life that he created. And I'll be honest, reading this scripture, and I'm going to take my time tonight. You just pray very earnestly. I want to do the very best to say what I needed to say and get out of the way. But we look at this scripture tonight, and I thought about the songs that have been sung and the things that have been said, and I oftentimes think about my own struggles in life. And I love the scriptures and Psalms where David says, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. The scriptures that are encouraging, I love those. But if I want to find comfort in hard times, oftentimes I look to the cross of Christ. And I'm reminded of the struggle that Christ went through. But we look in this scripture, and like I said, you pray. It says that Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And I begin to think about this. If we look, Pilate says, he says, "Saith unto them." He's talking to a group or to a multitude of people. And I've preached on this before. We know that this is the setting of the scene for the cross. If I could explain it in modern day terms, Jesus is currently being sentenced. If I could put it that way, it'd be as if one of us was in prison and we had went into the judge to be sentenced to whatever it would be. Christ is standing before Pilate, the governor, waiting to be sentenced. And Pilate is looking. And it was Roman custom at the time that at around about the Feast of the Passover, that when they had these men together, they would let one of them go free and they would hold the rest of them. I've preached on that before. Don't need to cover it again. But we set that scene tonight. With that in mind, Pilate says unto them, and I begin to think about that and ponder about that. It says, "He saith unto them," and I begin to think about who them was. And Pilate's looking at a group of men, a group of mankind, if you'll have it that way tonight. And I begin to think about you and I and where mankind came from. I want to say today that despite what the scoffers say and despite what the critics say, that I know that I was made in the very image of God. I still believe today that in 6 days God created the world and created man. And I still believe today that God created the earth and the moon and the stars and the sun. And I want to say this tonight, that God, in His great eternal mind, I don't understand how He did it or why He did it, but He spoke the world into existence, and then He looked at man and He began to use His hands to mold us into existence. Can I say tonight, friend, that every good and perfect gift comes straight from the hand of God? I want to say tonight, friends, that it is your life that is a good and perfect gift from the very hand of God. I don't understand tonight. I'll never be able to comprehend why God would give me life. I'm undeserving, but I'm eternally grateful to know that God looked off in a far time and decided that He would take His very hands and begin to mold my life and begin to mold my body and begin to mold me. He looked at Jeremiah and He said, "Before you were in the womb, I knew you." I want to say tonight that I'm thankful for a God that's far greater than I am, that when I would have looked at man and said, "It's just not worth the time, it's just not worth the effort to create," God looked down through the sands of time and saw that it was good to create man. Pilate speaking unto them, I want to say tonight that no matter what anybody else says, that if the Word of God tells me that He created man, I'm glad I didn't come from an ape. I'm glad I didn't come from a monkey. I'm glad that God in His great goodness made you and I. That makes us accountable to something. We have a maker. If I was accountable to an ape, it wouldn't matter, but I'm accountable to a thrice holy God tonight, to think that God in His divine goodness loved me enough to create me knowing that I would do Him wrong. I'll never understand it. We know the creation story, that God made Adam and Eve out of the goodness of His heart, that God made Adam and He saw that it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. So He cast Adam into a deep sleep and He took his rib out and He made Eve from that rib and some other things. I want to say tonight that He looked at Adam and He saw it wasn't good. He saw that and He made woman. God made a covenant with man in that garden. He said, "Listen, you'll have dominion over the earth. You'll have everything you want. There is just one thing that you cannot do. You cannot eat of that tree that is in the midst of the garden. It's dangerous. It's bad. That tree of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, do not touch it." We know the story tonight, friends. I just feel it's necessary to tell it again. This is our very fault tonight. Eve looks and she looks at that tree, and the devil looks at her. The serpent looks at her and begins to say, "Ye shall not surely die. Why don't you just eat of it?" And wouldn't it be human creation? Wouldn't it be you and I that she looked at that tree and she ate of that very fruit, the thing that God said, "Don't touch that," the very thing that God said, "Don't you even look at it." Friend, I want to say tonight that it was the goodness of God that saw that Eve would fall. God saw it. I believe that tonight, that God is eternal. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He saw that down through the sands of time. Yet, here's what boggles my mind tonight, friends, that God saw the fall, yet He created you and I out of the goodness of His heart, that He knew that we would disobey, yet He created us because He loved us. To think that God looked down and saw you, friend, and decided that He'd let you have life in spite of disobedience amazes me.
to think that God loved us enough that He would give us the very breath in our lungs that we could wake up in the morning and walk from day to day. I'll never be able to understand it, friends, but I want to say this for just a moment. There is coming a day, friends, when I'll get before Him and I'll thank Him for a million years that He gave me the very breath and He gave me what I have. We know the creation story that God created Eve and He created Adam, and we know that in that moment that all of mankind fell, that from that moment and from that time that man was known as sinners. I want to say tonight, friends, that you are known as a sinner because it is your very nature. By one man, death entered. By one, the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners. Tonight I want to say that you can deny and deny and deny the creation story. You can deny that God created you, friend, but you're not going to get around the fact that by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. How do you know that tonight, friend? Because I know that it is your nature. It is your being. You can lie to me. You can lie to Terry. You can lie to the church. You can say, preacher, I'm not that bad. I've been good. I've been honest. I've tried my best. Can I say that your best is not good enough? That you'll never do enough? Why? Because we stand before a holy God that even one speck of sin in His eye is enough to banish us into hell, friend. And I want to say tonight that God had every right to get rid of humanity, that God had every right to get rid of creation and banish us into hell. But when He looked down at mankind, His love was so overwhelming for the children of men that He didn't leave us in our sinful, dead, wretched state, but He had a plan for you and I. I believe that in the garden, God had a plan. I used to say that it was a plan A. Can I correct myself tonight? God had a plan. God didn't have a plan A. God didn't have a plan B. Oh, but God had a plan. Oh, God had a plan tonight to save sinners. To think that God loved us enough that from the beginning of time, Isaiah would say this, who hath declared it from an ancient time, that God declared that there was a way of redemption in Him. Thank God tonight we look in this, and Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? We look at this and we find that we have two sides of this lining up in this scripture. There is one side that is them, and there is one side that is Jesus. Taylor sang about it in the first song. Within the halls of Pilate, He stood without a friend. Can I say this tonight, that Christ Jesus is standing in this scripture about to be crucified for mankind? And you and I would like to look at this tonight and say, well, I would be on the side that looked at Pilate and said, no, 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 you can't crucify Him. We would like to look blank tonight and say, I was the one that stood and said, He's the Son of God. You cannot crucify Him. But can I let you know who we are tonight? We are amongst them. We are the ones that cried, crucify. No matter how good you want to be in your heart, no matter how good you want to make yourself, friend, I hope you realize that when it says, they all say unto Him, let Him be crucified. I want to say that I was there that day crying, let Him be crucified. It was my great sin that sent Him to the cross. To think tonight, friend, that as He's standing in the halls of Pilate all alone, we would look and say, oh goodness, don't let Him be crucified. But I hope you realize, friend, deep down in your heart of hearts, that we were the ones that were crying, crucify unto the very Son of God. Can I remind you who we're dealing with tonight, that this is not just some imaginated God in your mind. This is not just your mother. This is not just your father. This is not just your grandpa or your grandma. This is the very Son of God that is standing in the halls of Pilate. This is the Son of God who's got all authority on His back. This is the one that is a member of the Trinity. Some would say that Christ laid off His divinity to come down to earth. I don't believe that, friend. He was 100% man, 100% God. There is no mistaking that. But hear me. We look at this, and in this moment, I believe, if we look at it and we realize what we're dealing with, and we say it a lot, we must understand that Christ is standing, getting ready to die for sinful, wretched men. And those very same sinful, wretched men are crying, let Him be crucified. Can I say tonight, friends, that this is the Son of God in this moment? I hope you realize that He has all power, He has all capability to put an end to all of this. that as Christ is standing, he's got the right to look at the Father and say, I'm done. Send the band of 10,000 angels down and get me out of here. God, we had a plan, but I just don't know anymore. They're telling me to be crucified. God, would you get me out of this land? Would you take me back to glory? But notice what it says tonight, friends. The Bible does not say that that's what he did. But the Bible does not say. It says that he did not say a word. That's fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah 53 said this, as a lamb brought to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Friend, I hope you realize tonight that Christ is standing, and at the moment when he could have put an end to all of it, he pressed on anyway. Why was that, friend? It was to save you and I. In a moment when Christ could have called an end to all of it, friend, I hope you realize that he kept marching on for you and I. We go on a little bit further, and we know the story that Pilate begins to look, and he told him, I'm going to wash my hands of this. I'm done with this. I don't want any part of it. I'm innocent of this thing. Can I say tonight, friends, that you're not innocent of the crucifixion of Christ, that it was your sin that put him on the cross? But God took the very device that Satan had on you and I. God took the very device of death, and through death he won victory for you and I. How was that? Jesus Christ was the sinless, perfect sacrifice for you and I. And now because of his perfect life, it's imputed for me to thank tonight. Friends, I'm coming to a close very shortly, but I hope you realize that you're in a sinful state right now. You're sinful and you're wretched before God. But God has made a way out for the very life that he created that disobeyed him. Friend, Christ Jesus has come to save you. Well, preacher, you told us that part of the story. How does that end? Christ is sent unto the cross. And he gets a crown of thorns placed above his head. And he gets a written saying above his head, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. He's put a spear in his side and there's blood dripping down, and out with came blood and water. All of these things happened, friend, and the whole purpose of it all was to save you. To think that God in his great goodness did that all just to save you and I, I'll never understand. Friend, can I tell you tonight, it do you good to realize what you're standing before. I told you, you're his creation. You're accountable to him and no one else. Can I say tonight, friends, that God had every right, please hear me, God had every right to banish us to hell. God had every right to banish me into that place that burns as a lake of fire. But God, in his great goodness, looked down at men, and his love was so overwhelming. Because he loved me, my Savior died on the cross, was crucified. No greater love by mortal man will ever be known. Friend, tonight, I hope you realize that was for you. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Is it all right if we get a song? Taylor, come on. Friend, tonight I hope you realize that the work of Christ is sufficient to save you from sin. Before you worry about heaven or anything beyond that, or mommy and daddy going to heaven, friend, please realize tonight that your eternity is at stake. And it would be an awful shame tonight to spend eternity in hell when God has paid for an eternity in heaven. Amen. Christ himself, friend, left the portals of glory, put on a robe of flesh, Andrew, walked 33 and a half years, and was hated by the very life that God created. From the time he was born, Terry, there were men trying to kill him.
Yeah.
He was hated, yet he walked 33 and a half years and died the most gruesome death, the death of a sinner, but he was a righteous man.
Amen.
So that his righteousness could be imputed for me. Two things tonight. If you're lost, that's the only way. That is the only way that you'll find hope today. Second thing, Christian, I love you. But what a shame it is that we walk through life knowing that Christ died for us and we never give him an ounce of glory. I don't know if you'll have this tonight. If not, that's okay. to think, Terry, that even after I'm saved, every time that I mess up, all that I'm crying is crucify. To think that tonight, friend, realize that every time we walk astray, we're just nailing Him. We're crying crucify even more. It'd be good for you and I if we crucified our flesh and got it out of the way. Sing whenever you're ready. Would you come tonight? Christ is the only way, the only one you're going to get to heaven through. More important than heaven tonight, Christ is the only one you're going to escape hell.
My first thought this
morning, friend, don't be so stubborn tonight to stand back in your spot
and
in your place.
Great riches,
and walk past the cross of Christ.
Such treasure,
never giving it what it deserves.
The morning,
the great God of heaven loved you enough to die for you.
There was joy.
Friend, it's just a matter of accepting what Christ has done.
A hope.
In faith and repentance, believing that God has died for your very sins.
I'm acquainted with all of these things.
He was made under the law.
I am
born of a woman made under the law to redeem
him
under the law. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Friend, I've been adopted into the royal family tonight. And God's got plenty of places in His family open.
Every day along the way. The sweetest love there has been plenty, forgiveness when need be. I am no stranger to grace.
Surely someone needs to come. Obey the Lord.
While praying this morning,
God can take care of your problems.
As I try,
God can answer your questions.
Him, His peace.
And
it
He will
fell around me,
save your soul.
The same
if you're lost,
as yesterday,
and He's stirring your heart. And you'll come to Him and believe in Him and ask Him to save you. He will.
Tomorrow's may have
Jesus, one of my favorite scriptures,
and
Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a declaration from Jesus Christ. He never lies. He never fails. He's here.
Known my share of victory.
Somebody needs to come.
I've covered
obey the Lord.
With compassion every
it's your
day
move.
Along
when
the
God
way,
calls and speaks to your heart, it's your
love
move.
There has been plenty.
Come on.
Forgiveness when need be. I am no stranger to grace.
No stranger to grace.
The sweetest love there has been plenty. Forgiveness when need be.
Come, come on.
I am no stranger to grace.
Good singing, good preaching. I'm going to say a few words, and I'm going to need another song. If you folks want to sing another, you're welcome. Listen, Brother Cooper preached about some things right out of the Word of God, just like the Word of God said it. When Adam sinned in the beginning, he brought sin on the whole human family. And I'm telling you what, you talk about a problem, that's a problem. Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus told Nicodemus that. You have to get saved if you're going to go to heaven. I've talked to so many people in my life that felt like if they just tried real hard and they were good people and they measured up and they went to church, I've talked to people who said, I think I can make it. The Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't remember if it's in Isaiah or Jeremiah, one of those. There's scripture in there that said, they cry peace, peace, when there is no peace. And, you know, there's folks across the world saying, oh, you can be okay. You just live good and treat people right and be charitable and try to help people. And you be good enough, you can make it to heaven. If we could have done enough good works to make it to heaven, Jesus would have not come from heaven and done all the things He did and died on the cross. If we could have measured up, He wouldn't have come and died on the cross and suffered like He did, spent 3 days and nights in the tomb. And listen, I preach this real often and state this real often. You don't have to be a bad person to need to get saved. We don't go to hell because we're real bad. And we don't go to heaven because we're real good. Well, preacher, what's the answer to that? We go to hell if we don't get born again. If we don't get saved, if we don't get born again, if we don't get Jesus as the Savior of our soul, that's what we're talking about. If you don't get Jesus as the Savior of your soul, you're going to go to hell regardless if you're the best person in your town. You've got to be born again to keep you from going to hell. And you can be a person that maybe when you look at yourself in the mirror, you think, I just don't measure up. That'd be true of all of us, actually. But if you've been born again, been saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're going to heaven. I'm going to heaven, not because I'm a pastor, not because I go to church. No, I'm going to heaven because when I was just a young man, I trusted Jesus and He saved my soul. So listen, in just a minute, I'm going to let them sing again. But I want you to think about this. Purpose in your heart. If you're here tonight and you feel that need, if you've never been born again and you feel that need, I want to ask you with God's help to step out, come and pray, and we'll gather around you and pray with you. You can get saved tonight. And if you're here tonight and you've been born again already and you haven't been living right, come and get in. You can be a light to somebody. Sing when you're ready. Somebody needs to come. Please come. Please come. It's your move. It's your choice. It's right now. Please come. Please come. If you feel that impression inside,
to the time
that's God calling.
When Jesus,
if you feel that need inside, that's God calling.
Remember the joy when you
come and seek the Lord. You know what the Bible said? Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. When is it that God says you can get Jesus? That's when His Holy Spirit's speaking to you while you're alive. You've got time and opportunity. God's calling. That's when you can get saved. I got saved when I was just 12 years old. I thank God. I'm glad I got saved. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. And I'm glad I have God with me right now. I don't have to wait to get to heaven to be glad I'm saved. I'm glad right now. God makes life better every day, every minute. Listen to that song.
Listen. There's comfort in closeness.
Yeah.
So walk.
I feel very confident there's somebody here needing to come tonight.
I'm reading.
If that somebody's you, it's up to you. I can't move for you. I guess if I could, I would, but I can't. God won't make you come.
His will to
it's your choice. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve.
But forgiveness is all mine.
Listen.
In Him I'll rejoice.
Amen.
Because I'm one of His sheep.
I'm glad and
I'm
one of His sheep.
Know His voice.
I know His voice. When He speaks, I can hear it. I can feel it in my soul.
Please, oh Lord.
Do you have Jesus in your soul? If you don't, you need Him worse than anything. I often say if you don't have Jesus, you need Him more than you need your next bread or your next drink of water. Somebody said, well, preacher, I couldn't survive without breath or water. Your soul will not survive without Jesus. And if this body dies, my soul's going to heaven because I'm born again. But if you're not born again, and your body dies, your soul's going to hell. Just as surely as we're alive, we're going to die. But while we live, while we have time and opportunity, and God's calling, that's the time to get in. Well, I appreciate that song. That's a good song. I believe we need one more. Hard to quit. If you're here tonight, something's on your heart that you need to do. again, if you're lost and you need to come ask God to save you, do that. If you're here and you've been saved and you're not living for the Lord, you need to come. Get right, do that. If you're here tonight and you know you've been saved, without a doubt, say, I know I've been saved. I know I'm saved. If you know you're saved and God's laid it on your heart to join this church and be part of it, then we'll gladly receive you as a member. But you got to first be born again and know that you are. So sing us another. Somebody needs to come.
Their chains were fast and tight down at the jail that night. Still Paul and Silas would not be dismayed.
Help them, Lord.
They said, it's time to lift our voice, sing praises to the Lord.
Please,
let's show
Lord.
Him that we'll trust him, come what may.
Please obey the Lord.
God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round.
Amen.
You. When the fiery
Amen.
Darts around
right.
you. When despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice.
I know I have a personal
when
burden
the wisest man
to pray for
spoken,
some folks that are here, and I am,
and says
even
your
now.
Circumstances as
but if God's speaking to you,
can be,
you need to be the one
that's
especially
God
that's praying to God for you. I can pray for you, but I can't fix things for you.
Loves to hear our
you need
praise
to come to God, and God can fix
on
it.
On our cheerful day.
He already has the fix
the
in place.
Times
you just need to come
the bad by far.
Obey the Lord.
But when suffering comes along,
listen,
we still sing him songs. That is when we bless the Father's heart. God wants to hear you sing
yeah.
when the waves are crashing round you,
yeah.
when the fiery darts around you,
Amen.
When despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. That's when God wants to hear you sing.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate that song. Thank the Lord. Anybody else got something on your heart? Got an announcement, and I got something else on my heart I want to do, but I don't want to get in anybody's way. If you got a testimony or a song, I want you to do that. I'll remind folks that Sunday at Athens are having ordination services. It'll be Sunday morning, right at regular Sunday morning church time. And they're ordaining two young men as deacons up there. And I should have their names down, but I don't. But one of the young men is Ron Sarah's son-in-law. Very fine young man. The other young man's a fine young man, too. So pray for them. Remember that. Now, what else is on my mind? And Bryson, I want you to come up here. And I want your dad to come with you. And we want to shake hands with Bryson, and because he's going to be gone a lot. And I thought about this, and I thought his dad has stood by him all his life. And it's just appropriate that his dad stand by him while we're shaking hands with him and saying, and I'm not going to say goodbye, but we're shaking hands with him and say, so long, I'll see you quick as I can. So sing us a song. Come around and shake hands with him.
Yeah.
Amen. This might have been a little hard on Bryson, but it'll be worth it to him when he looks back on it. And appreciate you fellas. You're welcome. If you want to say something, say whatever you want to. You can come up here and say it if you want to.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I'm not much for talking in front of people, unlike my dad. But I just want to say how thankful I am for all of y'all. I know I haven't been here for too long, but over the short time that I have been here, y'all have been family to me.
Amen.
And there's not a day that goes by that I don't thank God for leading me to this church.
Amen.
And, you know, I know we've joked around about it a lot, but this definitely isn't the end.
Amen.
You know, this is home for me.
Yeah.
You know, I love this church. I've talked to Dad. I've talked to my family. I've talked to friends. I love this church.
Amen.
I love the spirit that this church has and the spirit that God allows it to have.
Amen.
It's truly a blessing to be here.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I look forward to coming back. Again, this isn't the last time that you'll see me.
Amen.
But, you know, I'm beyond blessed to have this church. And I love each and every one of you unconditionally.
Yeah, and you know what? I think Bryson is better at talking in front of people than Bryson thinks Bryson is. Okay, appreciate that. Now, I got one more announcement. God willing, this Sunday night that's coming up will be our Lord's Supper and our foot worship. And so everybody remember that. And thank the Lord for everybody being here tonight. Boy, we got a great crowd. We've had a great service, and just thank the Lord for the meeting that we've had tonight. Anything else?
I'd like to just reemphasize that. I've got the Lord's Supper real strong on my heart. I'd
Amen.
Really like to see a full house for the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
I encourage
yeah.
people to come.
Amen. Not like what was just said. I appreciate what Jeremy said. I'd like to see a full house for the Lord's Supper. And those that's got on your heart that wants to take the foot washing, you can do that too. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But let me say this about the Lord's Supper and just explain it. Our ordinances says that baptism is a prerequisite for the Lord's Supper. And that's just the way it is. Not meant to insult anybody or anything. But if you haven't been baptized yet to become a member of the Missionary Baptist Church, we have to wait a little while before we take the Lord's Supper. But come anyway. And we have church, and then we have the Lord's Supper afterwards, and then we have the washing of the feet. And so come. Come be part of whatever you can be and feel like being. Okay. Anything else? Young adults at your house at 6 o'clock. Okay. Remember that. It's the 31st. Yeah. Fifth Saturday night meeting, the 31st. That's at Samaria. It's at 5 o'clock, and that's a young people's meeting. Okay, now, you got something? Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate that testimony. Sure been a good meeting. Anything else? Okay. All right. Well, we'll miss you, but we sure understand, buddy. Yep. Anyone else? Not, we'll ask all those that are seated to stand. Ask Brother Mike to pray dismissal.
Our dear kind Heavenly Father, again, I thank the Lord for this day. I thank you for my soul. I thank you for Bryson, Lord.
Yes, Lord.